Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, your very flawed host is back. Hey, let me tell you about a time warp I was in. This is kind of funny. I'd love to let y'all know. It's funny, but in a way, it's kind of spooky. I went a minute ago, took too long a break. I went up to the front of the building. I got this bag of chocolate. Man, this is the best chocolate you've ever had. I got it at this place called Sprouts. It's one of these health nut places. And I got this 90% chocolate. I've been eating that during the show. And I stayed too long. I didn't realize we had come back from the break. So Sister Nancy took over. And I thought we were on the, well, I was talking away. This is what we're going to do when we come back. And Nancy said, you're on the air now. I thought, yeah, sure we are. I thought she was joking. So I was so thankful when little Lizzie told me, oh, no, what happened was you're not going crazy. See, I thought, how the hell did I lose this block of time? Well, and little Lizzie told me that when you went off to break, Sister Nancy had to take over for you because you were too slow to get it back. But I really thought, how did I lose that block of time? Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny in a way. I hope y'all do. But anyway, people, we're going right back to my little big sister Nancy, and we're going to talk about something huge that's happened here to Blood River Radio. We have a wonderful, wonderful family member of Blood River Radio, our sister Monica, who's written a great and a tremendous book. I consider it an icon of a book. A water point level book, whatever you call it. And Sister Nancy's going to tell us more about it. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, I think it's well worth purchasing. If you have any interest in the Holocaust and the sufferings of people who make a stand about trying to find the facts about what really happened to the Jews. I mean, this is a fantastic book by one of our co-hosts, Monica Schaefer. Her and her brother were both imprisoned in Germany, and she has written a fantastic book that I've completely read, and it's quite an emotional book. It's called Sorry, Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, The Trials and Tribulations of the Schaefer Siblings by Monica Schaefer. It can be purchased from the Barnes Review, Post Office Box 550, White Plains, Maryland, 20695, or you can go to the website barnesreview.com. It's I think it sells for $25 and $5 shipping, but it is really it's a invaluable book, and I just highly recommend it. And I think Monica wants to continue on about a friend, a German friend she had, who just recently passed away, a German friend who she knew in Canada.
Thanks, Nancy, for that plug. And I really just want to emphasize that when I talked about some of the things that we went through that were like hardships, it's not to frighten people off of speaking out loud about these taboo subjects. It's supposed to have the opposite effect. It's to understand some of the weapons in the arsenal of our enemy. And we do have an enemy. And, you know, that I think is pretty clear to most people by now, even people who are still not awake about some of our history, like the Holocaust, which has been such a taboo subject to even investigate. But many people are even sort of ordinary people on the street are actually getting their eyes rattled or yanked open about the white genocide that's taking place right now, or the attempt to genocide us off. And so really I hope that the book will help us in this epic struggle that we find ourselves in. That's my hope. It's really to try to contribute to our, you know, our general awakening. If people did purchase it and they could lend it to others who they think it might help them to wake up, that's great. That's really my biggest hope. But anyway, yes, I've been talking about Rosemarie Rohrbach. She's the one who was born in Germany right near the beginning of the war, was evacuated out of the city which was being bombed. That was Cologne, Germany. And she, as an adult, moved to Toronto, Canada. And once she woke up to what really had happened there, and that took place later in her life, she didn't understand true history, you know, from a younger age. She learned about this in later life. Then she went to war. I mean, she just was a tireless worker, and I just wanted to pay tribute to her because she did just pass away, I think about a week ago, January 7th, 2023, and just want to, you know, pay tribute to her because she really was one of the hardest working people that I know of for our cause and for shining a light on what really happened. So that's what I wanted to add to the story about her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we could go back. I think we don't want to forget that this is Black History Month. This is an important month for us to remember some outstanding blacks, at least two black females who had the nerve to make a stand and make some statements that were proved that they were aware of the enemy. And one of them is a Somali-born Democrat. She represents Minnesota. She's a representative from 2019, Ilhan Omar. She made some very saccharine comments about them working for the Benjamins, or dollars, I guess, and that the U.S. was hypnotized by Israel. Unfortunately, she did have to apologize, of course, but that didn't help her because they kicked her off the Foreign Affairs Committee, you know, alleging she's a voice of anti-Semitism. The other person, the other black female who had the guts to stand up against Israel, was a six-time elected Democrat representative from Georgia, Cynthia McKinney. She actually two times tried to break the Gaza blockade by ship in 2008 and 2009. In 2009, her ship was stopped. I think they had to get off in Lebanon. She was jailed, and later she was deported back to this country. So both of them have experienced being smacked down by the Jews. And I think that Eddie has had some contact with both of or tried to contact the Ilhan Omar's office, and he's had some contact, I think, with Cynthia McKinney.
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I was so excited, probably about a year and a half ago, we actually had Cynthia McKinney booked along with Paul Craig Roberts. But, and I mean, I was so excited. I thought this was going to be the booking of the year. And communicated back and forth through her through email, never on telephone, but she was coming on. I saluted her for her courage, you know, and in booking our common enemy. Then that is the common enemy. You know, people, this may be a little bit aside, like my grandparents in the 50s and before that, but I remember the 50s, the late 50s, because I was born in 1947. But my grandparents and the white sharecroppers in southeastern Arkansas, they got along fine with the blacks over there, but there was a mutual understanding and a mutual respect pretty much. There was no mixtures. There was no, social discourse amongst each other. They had their churches. White people had ours. There was no integration whatsoever, but there was this mutual respect. There wasn't all this violent stuff, you know, that you see nowadays. But Cynthia McKinney, evidently, the reason I appreciate her so much, not only, here's what she said, and we said this on the show before, but it needs to be repeated. She said what we talked about before on the show. Each time a person is elected into the House of Representatives or the Senate in this country, they are visited a short time. I think we went over this with Dr. Hill not too long ago. They're visited by certain people from the ADL and the SPLC. And they were come and they have to, they were told they need to sign this agreement, a contract, so to speak, not so to speak, a contract, you know, technically and realistically in reality, a contract. They have to swear that they will never criticize Israel under any circumstances. They will always be on the side of Israel. No ifs, ands, or buts. And if they do that, if they agree to do that, Cynthia McKinney's talking about this. Cynthia McKinney spilled the beans. She's the one that told about this. If they'll do that, then they'll pretty much have clear sailing. The skids will be greased. They'll get plenty of campaign money. They won't have to worry about being defeated in elections. But if they don't do that, the reverse is be true. They will not have any campaign money. They will not get any committees, a.k.a. Ilhan Omar. She's been recently, like Sister Nancy said, kicked off these committees. That's reality. And you know what? Cynthia McKinney, also another reason I respected her is because I saw her in person when Congress was drilling Leon Panetta, who was at that time the Secretary of Defense and a four-star general, Air Force general, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and she was asking them, she says, where does, what I think it was $1.7 trillion or $2.7 trillion, after you get that many trillions, it doesn't matter. But here we're going to the break, but I got to get this in. I hear the break, people. I'll have to continue this after this break. We'll be right back, folks. Hang on your seats.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Oh, welcome back, dear Blood River Radio family. We're going to go back where I was and get this out of the way. Yeah, Cynthia McKinney, we're going back to her. She was testifying in Congress, you know, and she had Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, and this four-star Air Force general, I don't remember his name, he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And she asked them, she said, there's this $2.7 trillion, but I know it's at least $1.7 trillion that had been earmarked for the Pentagon, for the defense budget. But some kind of way, it got lost. They couldn't find it. Well, Cynthia McKinney says, what happened to the $1.7 trillion? Well, they were kind of shuffling papers around and stuff. They said, well, it must have kind of a snafu. They couldn't find that the $1.7 trillion. And she went off of their butt. And she also made, just like Ilhan Omar, now Ilhan Omar, it's my gut feeling she probably did sign the contract. I'm going to go back. My memory's kind of failing me tonight. But we talked about each time a person comes to the Congress and the Senate, I know we talked about that, they are pretty much, they have pressure put on them to sign this contract with the International Judea, that they will never under any circumstances criticize Israel for anything. They get a free pass. And it just also goes without saying, you can't criticize a Jew, an individual Jew. They all do that. Well, I'll tell you one person who didn't do it. Another person, James Traficant. James Traficant didn't do it. Cynthia McKinney didn't do it. And I don't know if Ilhan Omar did or not. But here's the thing. They bucked the Jew. All three of them did. And how do you buck the Jew? The way you buck them is you do not do anything. If they want you to do something and you don't do it, well, then you are their hot water. I don't give a damn what it is. If you don't go along with something they want you to go along with, then you're automatically an anti-Semite. That's the way they think. It's Talmudic thinking. Well, anyway, go ahead.
I'll
go ahead.
I'll just jump in there just to add to what you're saying. There's a little expression that Gilad Atzmon, who is an Israeli Jew, but he's more on our side than on their side, but he says that Jewish power is their ability to make us not be able to talk about Jewish power. And then this sort of ties in with this swearing allegiance to Israel for American congressmen and women. They all have to do this thing, swear allegiance to Israel. Now, how much sense does that make? And like mm-hmm. you're saying that, you know, Cynthia McKinney, she refused to do that and she spilled the beans on it. And Jim Traficant, he was a hero, and then he mysteriously died in some tractor accident, but not, you know, I think mm-hmm, we know that mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he was murdered.
Yes.
But again, talking about these stories, we do not intend to try to frighten people from talking about it. We have to. It's about our very survival and existence. We have to talk about these things, and we have to wake up our brothers and sisters, because this is an existential war that we are in. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt mm-hmm. you there, Eddie. I just wanted to add
no,
to
you're
what
fine.
You're saying.
You added greatly. You know, and to go along with that, I listen to the radio on my truck when I'm coming home from working, and so when I'm coming home from the places where I go exercise. Every place in Memphis is not safe. So I was listening to this AM 64 here in Memphis. It's supposed to be a Christian radio show, but I figured out a long time ago they're a front for the Jews. They have this guy, everybody in Memphis and his mama knows Jay Sekulow. He's on the American Center for Law and Justice, something like that. Well, Jay Sekulow, he is the darling. I mean, my God, the Southern Baptists would climb a tree backwards before they say anything against Jay Sekulow. Jay Sekulow is a Jew, but that's okay, folks, because he's converted over. He's supposed to be this wonderful Christian. Well, he was talking about, they were just giving hellfire and brimstone to Ilhan Omar a minute ago, because guess what she said? He said, she actually had the nerve, the audacity to say that Jews had a lot of money. And Sister Nancy mentioned they called them the Benjamins. Well, you know what? Everybody and his mama, who doesn't know that Jews control the money system in the United States? She told the truth. She told the truth. She says they control the banking system. They control the media. They have all this power. It's because you tell the truth, because you say what's actual reality. It's really Orwellian. He's saying she's such an anti-Semite because she's insinuating that the Jews have an inordinate amount of power because they have all this money and because they control the news media, you know, and because they control who can advertise over the air, who in the newspapers. And everything she says was true. Yet they're calling her anti-Semite. And I know this may be a little rabbit trail, but the Jews themselves, you can read any number of publications. I wish I had One of the books that I bought from David Duke, The Truth About Communism, and another one, My Awakening, where he has actual quotes in there. For instance, I know Sister Nancy, I know probably Sister Monica brought up this guy named, what was his name? He was the fellow who dropped all these leaflets over Germany when the Russians were coming in. He was in urging,
Ehrenberg.
There you go. You know,
yeah.
These people, they say in this same book, I have quotes. It says that, I wish I had that book in front of me, but it says, this Jew was writing. It says that it should be noted. You know, I'm not paraphrasing it right now. And I'm getting ready to go back to Sister Monica. It should be noted that some of the world's greatest mass murderers have been Jews. And he goes on to name all these Jews in this book that ran the Cheka. I used to know one of them really well. Golly, wish I could remember their name. Their names are escaping me right now. But the entire Cheka of the Soviet Union in the 20s and 30s, they were controlled 100% by Jews. Later on, the Cheka evolved into several other organizations, secret police-based organizations. I think probably wound up in the KGB, but the old KGB had originated from the Cheka. And this Jew was saying, he's naming all these Jews that were mass murderers. One of them was responsible for killing, more than, they said that, million, and like something like 8 million Jews. He talked about how many they killed in Ukraine, how many people were killed by each one of these Jews. And he said it was accredited to Adolf Hitler. And see, this is a Jew writing that. He's bragging about it. But yet, all you have to do is go and read these quotes that these Jews have made, and you're an anti-Semite for quoting the Jew. It's so weird.
You're nailing it, Eddie, because exactly that. And actually, that song that you played earlier, one of the phrases in there, the words, the lyrics were something about the Jews' own words prove it. Like they were talking about all the crimes they do. So some of the best research you could do is by reading their own press in Israel. And they will tell you what they're doing because they can tell their own people what they're doing. They will brag about what they're doing. They will be much more open in the Jewish press in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem and whatnot, the Jewish Times, whatever they call all their papers over there. They tell us stuff in there. Well, they're not meant for us. It's, you know, their own people are the primary intended audience. But if we take the time, and we can look these things up online. I know that John Friend of the Realist Report, he is constantly reading the Jewish press, and that's where he learns a lot of the things that he writes about in American Free Press and the Barnes Review and whatnot. So this is, like, they will brag about their deeds or misdeeds or their power, their ownership of banks and their ownership and control of Hollywood. They will brag about all these things, but if we dare mention it, or if we dare notice the great noticing, you know, there's a hashtag, the great noticing or something like that on, but you know, if we dare notice, then we are bad. We are anti-Semitic. That's that weaponized word that Ilona Shalumit, whatever her name was, that Israeli former cabinet member talked about, you know, whenever somebody, if they want to shut down our criticism of anything that they do in Israel, they just bring up the Holocaust in Europe and anti-Semitism in America. And it's their trick. She actually used that word. It's their trick. We use it all the time. It's our trick. We use it all the time. These tricks of these weaponized words that they use against us, because, and they have been quite successful with that. I've known some very smart people who they just shrank back when they were called anti-Semite, and they go to great lengths to defend themselves and say, no, I'm not an anti-Semite. And really the best thing to do is just take that and take the wind right out of their sails and say, thank you for noticing. Yes, we should all be.
Amen. Yeah, amen to that. And I'm going to see if I can find that book during this break, because I remember Genrikh Yagoda was one of these famous Jews that killed millions and millions of white Russians. Be right back, folks.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. President Biden says he authorized a Chinese surveillance balloon to be shot down days ago.
Order the Pentagon to shoot it down on Wednesday as soon as possible. They decided, without doing damage to anyone on the ground, they decided that the best time to do that was as it got over water.
He confirmed this when speaking with reporters while en route to Camp David earlier today. His remarks come as the Pentagon confirmed the balloon was shot down by fighter jets off the coast of South Carolina in the U.S. waters. iHeart reporter Adam Dillinger saw the whole thing happen over the waters of South Carolina earlier today.
I'm a gun owner and I've been around firearms my whole life. I have never heard anything that loud. Ever.
It's not clear yet if the action prevented the Chinese government from getting sensitive U.S. intelligence. Brutal cold winds are sweeping across the Northeast with officials closing schools and activating emergency plans. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu warned residents to take the warnings seriously.
We just want folks to really appreciate the intensity of the weather we're going to get so we can be prepared and come through it on the other side safely. And smart.
Wind chill as cold as 32 below zero will hit much of the region. The order in which states vote in the 2024 Democratic primary is going to look very different than it has in the past.
Iowa is out, South Carolina now in the number one spot. During a Democratic Party gathering in Philadelphia, DNC delegates approved moving South Carolina into the top spot for early voting, followed by Nevada and New Hampshire. And for the first time, Georgia and Michigan joining the primary window. Iowa, which had traditionally been first, not happy with the decision. That new calendar facing opposition from the impacted states and could remain unsettled for months as the DNC works to get it implemented.
That is John Schaefer reporting for us this evening. This is USA News.
You love your pet, right? So imagine if you were suddenly faced with thousands of dollars in veterinary care. What would you do? Could you make the difficult decision not to help your best friend? If you join PetSavingsUSA.com, you never have to make that choice or face those kind of expenses. That's because PetSavingsUSA members enjoy discounted pet insurance to cover both standard and emergency vet bills. In addition, members save up to 50% on staples like food, toys, and treats, all at major pet retailers. You'll love...
Do you have a story to tell? Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network handles everything. If you have a print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, call Audiobook Network now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229.
Here at Blood River Radio family, we're just having a wonderful time here tonight. And listen, before too much further ado, we want to go back to Sister Monica. She has an important thing she wants to tell you. Be right. So go ahead. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah. So, you know, rightly so, you talk about we need to talk about solutions. And so people listening might say, oh, they're just always griping about the Jews, you know, which is true. But we're trying to wake people up about what's going on and who is doing the things to us that are happening. I mean, everybody's, you know, kind of waking up that something's not right with the world, right? And so I just came across this article on the National Vanguard. I think that's what the website's called. And it's Kevin Alfred Strom, and he says it so well, because it's about naming your enemy. It's about knowing who your enemy is. And if you don't mind, I'll just read this one paragraph out of
Fire,
that.
Fire, water.
Okay. We should love, this is Kevin Alfred Strom, we should love our race despite its flaws. One such flaw is the unfortunately widespread inability to acknowledge who it is who has declared war on us. And make no mistake, there is a war on white people today. And recognizing who exactly it is that has declared war on you is a necessary precondition for defeating them. Beware the grifters. They are all over social media today, trying to exploit your growing love for your race and purposefully minimizing or concealing from you the fact that the huge anti-white army arrayed against us is gathered and coordinated and promoted primarily by one entity, the Jewish power structure. Anyone who tries to divert you into believing otherwise is working against our race's true interests, is either confused or trying to take your energy and money and divert it into dead-end channels, or is working for the enemy. Four, an enemy you cannot name is an enemy you cannot understand, and an enemy you cannot understand is an enemy you cannot defeat. Luckily, the inability to name our enemy is not inherent. It is learned through fear, intimidation, misinformation, and false religion. And because it is learned, it can be unlearned. And I'll just end there. He goes on, but that's really important. We need to name our enemy, or we need to know who our enemy is, name our enemy. Otherwise, what chance do we have to actually win this war? And we are in a war, like he says. Make no mistake, there is a war on white people today. I'll turn it over back to you. Yeah,
absolutely. And not only is it learned, it was taught at the point of a club. Learning to fear these Jews has been taught from the day one. And you mentioned, he mentioned a false religion. I would like to say, I will go out here on a limb and I will say the majority of the so-called Christians that I know in the South, and I know that a lot of people just revere the South. I was telling one of our supporters just today who lives north of the Mason-Dixon line, I said, the last time I checked, the Southern Baptist, I don't know about the United Methodist, but I know the Southern Baptist, when you say Southern, it pretty much denotes the South. So in the South, we have the Southern Baptist Church, Bellevue Baptist being one of the largest ones in the country, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, and they worship. They absolutely worship these Jews, and they worship Israel. It's Israel first. You know what? I've talked to some of them, and I've actually asked some of them, one of them being a fellow used to have a radio show here in Memphis. What was his name? Chuck. He tried to get us kicked off the air when we, with the political cesspool. Bates. It was Bates. He used to have a show called Unraveling the New World Order. He, amongst others, I asked him, if you love Israel so much, if we go to war with Israel, would you be on America's side or Israel's side? And he said, well, I couldn't fight against Israel. They worship these people. It's not a Christian religion. People, you cannot idolize Israel. You cannot idolize the Jews. You couldn't idolize anything, be it a Arab, a Muslim, whatever. If you're a Christian, you absolutely cannot keep hanging on to this Judeo-Christian crap that you've got. It's just pure blasphemy, and it's going to carry you to hell. And before I get off of that, and that's learned. Monica said it's learned. It is taught. It's taught in the school system. It's taught in anybody that goes to these churches. I know I've been in the Baptist church. I left. You're not going to be in the Baptist church long if you can't go along with that garbage that, you know, we have to bless. He who blesses Israel, I will bless. Who curses Israel, I will curse. I would like to read this one quote. We were talking about that book before we went to the break, and I would like to give a plug for David Duke. You know, I hadn't seen him in a long time. We don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. I call him a peacenik, which I'm not. I think the system, a lot of our brothers like that have been following, it's just led to, it's an abysmal failure. We failed for doing that system for 75 years. This peacenik crap is not going to work. That's the only place where me and Brother Dave disagree. He wrote this great book, though. I mean, it's a fabulous book. I could not encourage you enough to buy it. It's called The Secret Behind Communism by Dr. David Duke. In the cover, I'm just going to open the cover here and read a few paragraphs. And it says, inside the cover, the book I just told you about, it says, recognize this man? It's got a photograph of this Jew. It goes on to say, not one person out of 1,000 knows his name. It is Genrikh Yagoda. And historians agree that the Soviet communist secret police boss was one of the greatest genocidal mass murderers of all time. We hear nothing about him in the globalist media. However, Israeli media reveal things that are hushed up for us, the rest of us. A major Israeli publication, Yannette News is spelled Y-N-E-T, News, N-E-W-S, Yannette News, disclosed the historical truth about Yagoda, saying, "We mustn't forget that some of the greatest mass murderers of all time were Jewish." Let's keep in mind now, that's a Jewish publication, people say this, so I guess I must be anti-Semite for quoting them. It goes on, "Gidret Yagoda was the greatest Jewish murderer of the 20th century. Is responsible for the death of at least 10 million people. So, Yagoda, who ironically sported a mustache identical to Hitler's, killed twice the number alleged against Hitler. The premier Holocaust historian, Raoul Hilberg, alleges 5 million to Hitler." Yannette News goes on to matter-of-factly state, "His Jewish deputies established and managed the Gulag system. Yet we hear almost nothing in the news, in the Hollywood entertainment media, about Yagoda and the legion of murderers who killed 5 more people than the alleged numbers of the Jewish Holocaust. Do you think those victims are any less human?" I'm almost through, people. "Their children any less precious? Why is there no media about this? Why no blockbuster films about the crimes of Yagoda and others? Why no trials and punishment? Why no museums and mass media on the Red Terror? The group that dominates Hollywood and the media at large hides the facts about the leading Jewish role in communism and its crimes. Why can Israeli media, but not our media, reveal the leading Jewish role in these horrors?" And I would also say, they don't just dominate Hollywood and the media at large. People, they absolutely control the United States Congress, the House of Representatives, the citizens of the Senate with an iron fist. They control the Judeo system. They control the deep state. They control the Pentagon, the CIA, all the intelligence agencies. They control it all with an iron fist. Go ahead, Monica, Sister Monica.
I'll just answer that question that you just asked a moment ago. Why does the press not report about those mass murderers? And Alexander Solzhenitsyn answered that by saying that they are in the hands of the perpetrators. The world's press is in the hands of the perpetrators of these atrocities.
Yes.
And that's why.
That's proof. That's proof. You nailed it. You nailed it, Sister Monica. The very idea that we cannot get that out, that the media cannot get that out, that Alexander Solzhenitsyn would bless his heart. I would love to shake his hand where he's still alive. That's proof. That is living proof that the people who committed all these horrible atrocities against white people are still in control. That's why we can't get it out. Excellent. You nailed it, Sister Monica. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, actually, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he nailed it. And he specifically said that the press is in the hands of the perpetrators. And yes, we know who owns the press. And they brag about it. To come back to that point about they can brag about their own, you know, they might call it their own accomplishments or their own power, but we can't talk about it because then we're bad, right? We're pointing out the truth about what they have in their hands, right? They have the media in their hands. They have all the mainstream media in their hands.
So, yes, they do. Absolutely.
Thank goodness for the internet and for shows like this. You see, so that's great.
And while before we go to the break, I'd just like to read this, our Southern Baptist friends. Did you know about the racist Zionist state of Israel, which outlaws marriages between Jews and non-Jews and has racially based immigration laws? Think about that, my Southern Baptist friends. We'll be right back, folks, after this break.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
As you jump in. Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go back to my baby sister, Miss Monica. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Well, you know, sometimes there's really good news to report, and I do want to tell the listeners this, that Ursula Haverbeck is not going to jail now. I've been told that it could still happen, but they basically dropped the case against her, this most recent one where she was absolutely supposed to go back to jail for a year, and they were wanted her back in jail before Christmas, and then, you know, time passed, she wasn't going back to jail, and then suddenly some time ago, maybe a week or two ago, they said no, they've dropped that case just quietly. Now she is 94, and I think that the Jews in control of the German state there, that they just thought, you know what? If she dies in prison, she's going to be turning into a martyr, an iconic martyr, and it would bring a lot more attention that they wouldn't want onto, you know, shine the light again onto their lies and expose the lies and shine the light on the truth. So anyway, that's what I think is why they dropped it. They're probably afraid that if you're putting a 94-year-old in jail, there might be a slight possibility that she may not make it out. So that's one interesting point, and it's good news that she's going to be able to stay home. Mm-hmm. I think it's good
right. News. All right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nancy. I think you were going to.
Well, that's good. Very good news. But you know, I think they're prosecuting another older woman. She may even be older than
Irmgard Fuchsner. Irmgard Fuchsner. Mm-hmm. She's 97.
Terrible. God. Terrible.
And she was, yeah, they're going after her because she happened to be a secretary in a camp, one of those work camps or one of those, what do you call them, the transition camps?
Yeah.
Where she was something like 17 or 18 years old.
Yeah.
She just had a job pushing a pencil, basically, as they say. And yet she's somehow responsible for the death of tens of thousands of Jews. And so she's supposed to go to jail at age 97. Can you believe it?
Well, I think she's in a wheelchair, I believe.
Yes.
I think she's in a wheelchair. And, of course, she's very embarrassed about it. I think she keeps her face and all covered. It's just horrible, really, what they're doing.
Yes, it is horrible. It's very traumatic.
It's really horrible.
It's extremely traumatic.
Of course it is. And then I was just going to say, when Eddie was talking about people that visit Israel and tourists, of course, a lot of Americans go and they want to visit biblical sites, and what they don't see, or they're not allowed to see, are so many things that are being done to the poor Palestinians. But one of the things that the Jews do, and it's pretty common, is when they pass a Christian church, they spit. And again, these things are so alien to the white Christian, they find that hard to believe that is true. That is one of the things they do. But with reference to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I picked up a book from the many books I have down in the basement, 500. And one of them was, I haven't just scanned over it and made a few little notes. And here's one of his statements within this little book. The book is called From the West. It's called The West Has Lost Its Courage. And he said, should one point out that from ancient times, decline in courage has been considered the beginning of the end. Does that make sense to us?
Oh, my goodness.
To me. Also,
because,
Alexander's...
You know, they criticized him, of course, for saying something about the Jews. And also, he was really lambasted and ignored because he was talking for a call to Christianize, to bring back religion.
You know, Sister Nancy, also, you're right. You know, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn on a trip when he came over to speak to one of the Ivy League colleges, I don't remember which one it was, could have been Harvard or Princeton or whatever, he said, just what you said, he said that what stands out like a neon light when you come into the West from the Eastern Europe, places like that, he said, what you notice is the complete lack of courage in Western white men. He said, it's just not there. They're just being feminized.
Do you think it has anything to do with how the little children are being asked in little grade school, like in grade one already, do you feel more like a boy today or like a girl? And if you want to be a girl today, and it doesn't matter about your penis, you can be a girl today. Or do you think it might have something to do with that absolute craziness that's going on?
That could be currently, but this book, I think, was back in 1975. But, you know, I think, again, you could say this could go back to maybe the increase of feminism. But I think he relays most of his complaint is with the Western people, the Western mind has been so, I guess, obsessed with materialism, that's the only thing they care about. And I think that's really what he was one of the things that he talks about in this particular book is the desire for material goods.
Yeah, and, I guess that's a really good point, Nancy. Like I guess I was just, my mind jumped to the
well,
the
I think
present,
that
and
could
of
be,
course,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's been going on for a long time, you know. Of course,
exactly.
It steps. It's been in steps. You know, the step one was. For instance, with homosexuals, I remember reading about this. I wish I could find the article. This article I read outlined is about six steps. It starts with when they say, "Oh, please, just be tolerant. Just don't kill us. We'll stay out of the way and do our homosexual filth out in the closet somewhere." And then it goes on. Then it's you have to recognize it. The
acceptance.
Different steps.
Yeah.
Acceptance. And then it's canonized into religion, to law. Then there's punishment. There's jail time if you don't accept it. Absolutely. So it's been in steps. It's been going on for years and years and years. But you're absolutely right. And it's culminated right in what you just said, Sister Monica, about telling these little boys, you know, you have penis, but that doesn't mean anything. You can still be a girl, et cetera. Yeah, you nailed it. It's exactly right.
I think there's been a bit of a controversy about what the Pope has come out recently said about homosexuality as well. I think he is saying that theoretically homosexuality, as far as they're concerned, is a sin, but it's not a crime. So I find those two hard to kind of balance out. I mean, that what he's trying to say is those countries and states and areas that consider homosexuality where they have laws against laws against homosexuality, that he's against that. That's the way I interpret that.
You know what? The Catholic Church they're probably worse than the Baptists in some ways. I don't know how in the hell, and I know some people, this is a guy who comes on our show as a devout Catholic. I don't know how any thinking person could be in a Catholic church or in a Southern Baptist church for that matter, but I mean, they're just houses of filth, you know.
Well, there's people within the Catholic Church who are really fighting against the current corruption and the current Pope. They understand that the current Pope is absolutely not a real like he's like an antichrist, really. Mm-hmm. And there are many people within the Catholic Church that are fighting from within, I guess you could say, and maybe they consider themselves.
I think that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
That's a great. You know what? On second thought, that's a great solution. You know, people, and I've been told, people have told me, you need to go back to that Baptist church that you left, and you need to preach the gospel to them until they kick you out again. You know, you need to. So that's what we need to do. You know, that's a great idea. If I'm not, maybe I'm wrong, but we probably need to go back in and preach the gospel inside. And what better place than the Catholic Church to point out and say, well, look what the Pope's done. Are you going to go along with that crap, man?
I think the Catholic Church has been infiltrated for a long, long time. And I'm puzzled by the yarmulke that the Pope wears. I mean, does anybody else see that? Doesn't that kind of smack of some other group of people that, like, why is the Pope wearing that funny little pancake on the head? I mean, that's what the Jews wear.
Exactly. You know, Father Malachi Martin, rest his soul, he wrote a book, Windswept House, a spooky book, man. You wouldn't want to read it at night. And another one, Hostage to the Devil. He was a former Catholic priest. He spoke of this. He talked about this, the great bank inside the Catholic Church. It's just too complicated to talk about right now. But people, if you ever get a chance to get the book, it's pretty long, The Windswept House by Father Malachi Martin. He busts the Catholic Church on a lot of stuff. And listen, he was a diehard. The guy worked up high. He rubbed shoulders with like three popes before they got killed. He was set. He spoke eight languages. He would decide what was in their catechism, what wasn't, what was kosher in the Catholic Church, so to speak. But yeah, we're about to run out of time. I don't have time to read this right quick. Like Miss Sister Nancy mentioned Palestine a minute ago. I gotta hurry this up. This also comes from the book. How much time we got, Lizzie? 2 minutes. I better hurry this up then. I really don't have time to read this. But anyway, I'll just say this, that what they're doing at the time this book was published, the Jews were doing in Palestine, they're committing genocide against the Palestinian population the same way they did there in the Soviet Union, and they're doing the same damn thing in the European, Western European countries, in the United States and Canada, anywhere there's white people. They're even trying to do it in Japan. And we will have Paul Fromm on. I'm looking up here. He's going to be on supposedly the 18th. Paul Fromm is going to be on talking about his great little pamphlet. I've got it over here somewhere. The clergy, the cult of a clergy, the clergy plan. He's going to be talking about that. It goes all. And so I'm going to shut up. Girls, what would y'all like to do before we go out? We've got about a minute left.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Think of some solutions, I guess. My only solution is to try to do one thing every day, no matter what it is, writing a postcard, putting out a sign, putting out a newspaper, putting out a flyer, create your own flyer. One step, just do one thing a day.
That's an excellent thing to say. And also that, you know what, we reach people one by one by one by one. Never mm-hmm. underestimate the power of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Never underestimate the power of one. And you know, I thought about going back to church just for a day, because the fellow who baptized me 12 years ago, something like 2.5 months before my 62nd birthday, he died Christmas Eve. I thought about going back just to pay my respects to his wife and then tell the current minister why I could not be a member of a Southern Baptist church anymore, because of you people, you worship Israel, you're worshiping idols, and mm-hmm. you're all going to go to hell if you don't stop. It's that way. And as far as that goes, you can't worship an organized person like that. Anyway, Sister Monica, Sister Nancy, tell our listeners good night.
Yes, good night. Thanks again, Eddie, for having us on. It's been a good time.
Well, thank y'all.
Thanks, Eddie, and thanks, Monica, and thanks to all the good listeners.
And yes. Thanks, Sweet 16. She just had her 16th birthday. Bless her heart, little Lizzie. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio family. Thank you, Fred, for coming on the first hour. God bless y'all. Same time, same place. Next week will be the 11th. And I hope I don't have another time lapse. Hope I get back in time to the microphone. Well, good night, everybody. Good night, Lizzie.